Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this has been quite a week. It's been quite a week for everyone. We had our Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is still going on right now. And I tell you, Houston gave me a call on yesterday bragging that they have now taken over the leadership of the Sambo of the Year. They have now taken over leadership. They are no longer in second place. They are no longer in third place. They are now the leaders. They're the leaders of the Sambo of the Year Award. And thanks. And I tell you, I need you guys. Continue to vote is so, so important. We have at this time a total of 15 radio stations that's going to replay what we do. I'm really not a Facebook guy, but I tell you this. This is so, so important that we have to make sure we're doing all the things that we need to do to make this thing happen. It's crucial. So we have to do what we need to do in order to win this thing. The winner of this honor will receive $3,000. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to put up a basketball court, 275 Pipestone. I'm going to put up a basketball court. It's going to cost $15,000, but this will be a step in the right direction. And it's so, so important that we take care of our children. There's nothing more important than our children. Nothing. Nothing. No matter how we look at things, there's nothing more important than our children. And that's a fact. That's a fact. And we must make sure we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do to help our children. You know, and that's why this award or this tournament that we have is so important. Also to make sure that we call out people that's not doing the right thing. If you're not doing the right thing, you will hear from me. You see, I'm not intimidated by you. You don't scare me. But I do have a job that I have to do. I have to make sure that we're taking care of each other. Because if we're not taking care of each other, then we're not doing it. We've got to do God's work. You know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Regardless how you feel about something, long as you're doing the right thing, do what's right. We have a major problem here, and we are going to have to deal with that. Racism is here. I've been telling people for years about racism that exists here in Barron County. But it's not just here. It's all over the country. You see? But the point is, if we don't address it, it's just going to get worse. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get out here and do the things that we need to do to make this thing happen. I'm excited to be part of what's going on. I'm excited for the people that's involved. And I received a call. And it was a very, very disturbing call. It was about a young lady telling me about her daughter, that the school openly practices racism. You see, I will be giving them a call. Also, I called one of my friends on yesterday for the governor's office and explained to her what had happened. She said, don't allow it to get away. Don't allow them to get away with this. Don't allow them. You see, because if it's not just this young lady that's at risk. It's everybody after her. It's the next thing, because if they get away with it once, they'll get away with it twice. So we have an obligation to stand up for this lady. We have an obligation to protect our children at all costs. There's not a reason in this world that we should not go over there. If nothing else, we should march on that school. Not for the people inside the school, but the people outside the school to let them know that there's a problem at this school. You see, and I know a lot of people don't think, no, I don't want to do that. But you got to do it because it could happen to your child. And when it happens to your child, then you're going to be coming running for help. So what I want people to come out. We're going to select a date to come out, and we're going to make sure we let them know that we're not going to take this line down. I'm going to have the aunt to speak. She's going to be speaking in less than 3 minutes, and she's going to tell us why we need to be there and why we should not allow them to get away with this, you see. Children really don't know anything about racism unless their parents teaching them, you see. Children do not know anything about racism unless their parents is teaching them. And if we allow them to continue this, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. We have to go to certain schools now because of racism. And I'm not saying that you have to come out and do something because I can't tell you what to do. I can ask you to join us, but I can't tell you what to do until your child, something happened to your child. I'm going to tell you this quick thing, then I got to bring her in. And the thing is, we used to picket the courthouse. We did that for 10 years. Every Tuesday, we didn't stop. We got a lot of changes. You know, we got laws changed, not because of them. But we got laws changed, court-appointed attorneys, the juvenile lifers. We went out and did things that never been done before because they know that we was not going to go away. In order to get something done, you have to do some kind of work. They're not going to change. These people, they think they got all the power, all the resources, and they think that they can do whatever they want. But we're going to stop them. We're not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to tell you this, Trinity, we're coming after you. And on that note, I'm going to bring in the aunt, and she's going to tell us where we at and what happened. Talk to me.
Hi. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Wonderful.
I'm most certainly can. I can hear you. I can hear you very well, and I like it.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having us on your show today. I really appreciate it. And I think you said it very well. Racism is definitely taught.
Yeah.
My niece goes to Trinity Lutheran there in St. Joe. And this past week on Wednesday, the 7th, oh, I think your feed had stopped. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, it says your live video has ended.
Yeah, it did, but unfortunately, I want you here. This is where we get all the listeners.
Good.
Let me do this. Can you give me a minute, and I'm going to send you another link. Can you do that? I wasn't planning on. I didn't think that I could hear you, but let's go here, and then we'll come back and do it some other time. The other link. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically last Wednesday, my niece came out of her school, no teacher accompanying her. She was sent home basically with no explanation. She got into the car and she was bawling. She was crying to her mom and, you know, and she explained everything that, you know, since she started at the school in September that she's been having problems with not only bullying, but with racial slurs. She's been called the N-word by Stephens, I said her name wrong. Her son, Paul, was calling her the N-word. They were learning about Black history this month, and they were making slavery games while out on the playground. Four boys surrounded her. One of them was Paul. One of them was, I think the boy's name was Zachariah. I don't know the other two boys' names, but they surrounded her and they were making whooping sounds, like they were whooping her and telling her to get back to work and some other things. And, you know, they called her, I'm not going to cuss, but they called her some cussing names, some B words and stuff. But, I mean, this isn't just a problem for the students. This is also a problem with the teachers because the teachers knowingly knew this was going on and happening. She was in one of her teacher's classrooms, and that was Miss, I think her name's Jacobs, if I'm saying it right. It's spelled kind of funny. And she was in her classroom, and she was actually supposed to be getting tutoring. And while in class, a young man came up to her desk, Zachariah, and he knocked the books off her desk and was laughing and, you know, kind of teasing and taunting her. And the teacher said, okay, Aubrey, who's very shy, my niece is a very shy young lady, she says, I want you to write a sentence saying Zachariah knocked my books off of the table. So, I mean, this is, she's even getting the bullying from the teachers. That was definitely not, that's uncalled for. You know, one of the teachers did reach out to my sister-in-law and was crying, and he was scared, and he's afraid to speak up because of, you know, I know a lot of their budget comes from a lot of the parents or lawyers and doctors over in the St. Joe area. And so he was afraid to speak up, but he felt bad that he didn't say anything. But, you know, the damage is done. You know, she's not sleeping. She's worried, you know, she's afraid. I mean, they knew something was off. They just couldn't tell what was going on. And her being a very shy and very kind person, and, you know, she didn't want to start waves or anything. But like I've told her and told her mother and her sisters and her uncle, if somebody doesn't speak up, if somebody doesn't say something, then nothing will change and nothing will happen. And as of Wednesday, from my understanding, there has not been any resolution. We don't know if the kid's been expelled that was calling her these N-words, you know, saying she had a big forehead and, you know, letting her know what color the marker that she coincides with in his crayon box. You know, they even went after another couple of students in the class. One was an Asian girl. They said, hey, your family eats cats and dogs. Another child in the school, I believe he's Little Benton Harbor, if I'm correct. They were sent calling him little poop because he's dark skinned, you know. There was adults knowing this was happening, and they didn't do anything about it. You know, the principal, when she was supposedly just made aware, she pretended like she was just made aware. She said that she was unaware that this was going on since September. You know, and my other nephew had sent a email out to, I think his name was Travis Grookey, you know, and he was just explaining that, you know, the principal has been made aware, you know, this is not tolerated, yada, yada, yada. But here we haven't heard anything back, you know. If a teacher's son, who is coming out with this racial stuff, this stuff is taught. This stuff is not automatically learned, you know what I mean? So this is taught. Somebody is teaching these kids that it's okay, you know. And like I said, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is lighting up. Keep talking.
Okay, good. Wonderful. You know, I would just like to ask for support, you know, for the parents that do have students that are attending there, be aware of this that's going on. If your student's part of it, you need to correct the problem, you know. Just because you teach Black history, you need to teach the different types of racism and stereotypes and biases clear unconsciously to your students. You need to say this is unacceptable behavior. I believe that that student should be expelled. I think he should be
expelled. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They should be expelled. There's no question about this.
Yep. I think he should be expelled. I think that there should be some repercussions of his behavior. You know, having a Christian education is a privilege. It is a privilege. You know, and my niece should not have to pay for being physically and mentally tormented and verbally abused every day. That's ridiculous. And she should have from the adults in the school. The least they could do is be adults and take responsibility for their actions. And they're not doing that. The principal mm-hmm. has actually deleted my post that I had put on Facebook when I was reaching out and saying, listen, you know, Mr. Weiss, listen, Ms. Steffens and Paul, you know, your actions have caused, you know, they've caused a lot of damage with my niece. She's not sleeping.
Absolutely.
She's stressed out. She's worried. She no longer can go to that school. She can, who wants to go to a school and pay to be abused every day? So, you know, whether this this racism was internalized, or interpersonal, I'm not sure what stigma or which category or whatever it falls underneath or whatever, but I do know that, you know, calling out a child in a classroom, and if, as an adult, if I'm teaching, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stop everything. I'm going to put my book down, stop teaching. I'm going to have that student go to the principal's office. I'm going to explain what just happened. I'm going to take the other student aside and say, I'm sorry this happened. Are you okay? Do you want to go speak to the counselor? Or do you want to go home? That's the least that could have been done. But instead, it was ignored. Instead, she was mocked. I mean,
yeah.
She was basically mocked. The teacher didn't do anything about it. And now he's crying, boo-hoo, I should have done something about it. Why? Because you were afraid of all these other people who are doctors and lawyers that give to your school? Or were you afraid to go over your coworker's head because, you know, not only does you work with her, but her son goes to school here? You know, this racism is a problem everywhere. You know,
let me say this, too. I'm not shocked at all. I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we can't allow them to get away with it. That's my thing. My thing is that we have to do something to show them, even if it's just for one day, to go over there to that school, march in front of that school, and let them know that we're not going to accept what they have done to Audrey. We're not going to accept it. You know what? When I got that call, I'm going to tell you this. I was burning up when I got off that phone. I was burning up. And I said to myself, no way, not today. There should not be, you know, why should a 12-year-old girl have to go through this? It's not right.
Yep,
it's not fair.
2024, baby. Yep.
Yeah, here's the thing. We have to sit down and decide what action we're going to take, because they're not going to take action unless we take action. I tell you, I picked the courthouse for 12 years. And finally, it took that long to get something done, but we got it done. We got them to change law and everything. But if we don't do nothing and allow this to continue to happen, then we're just as guilty as they are.
And yes, they are guilty. As teachers, they are state mandated to report. As a state employee, mm-hmm. I was a state employee for 22 years, and as a state employee, you are mandated to report abuse, racism.
Yes. Absolutely. You're mandated.
The bullying that went on. This is why we have kids nowadays that go into schools with guns. Heaven forbid that ever happens again. I hate it when it happens. But when it does happen, that's why they go to school and do that. They've had enough, you know? And then if somebody speaks up or says something, oh, you're angry, you're mad. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm mad. My niece is very calm, very quiet, and very shy. She's a very beautiful young lady. She loves God. You know, I was teaching her in Sunday school, and, you know, I was out of state this week down in Missouri when I got the call from my fiance saying, hey, this is what happened to Aubrey. And I'm like, what? You know, I came back. I'm angry. I'm upset, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about the situation. I will march. I will picket. I have no problem. You know, like I said, my Facebook posts were kept going down. And I think that people do need to go, if their child goes to Trinity, talk to your child. See what was going on in this school. Listen to your child. A lot of parents need to listen to their children because this stuff needs to stop. We need to speak up. We do need to picket. We need to bring it in front of the school, and we need to let them know we're here. You know, there are some things that I will never understand unfortunately, I'll never understand what that's like. But when I hear about this happening, and especially to my niece, you know, it may not be your child that's experiencing this, but is happening to her. And if it will happen to her, it will happen to other children. And it will happen to the child after her. You know, there are other kids in the school that we need to also stick up for, that maybe they're afraid or they can't speak for themselves. They're little 12, 13, you know, 11-year-old boys and girls. They need the adults to be adults and speak up for them. And so that's exactly what I think we need to do. I think we need to pull together. I think we need to march. I think we need to go over there and say, listen, you knew about this situation. You chose to ignore it because, you know, your little money-making business over here. People, you know, they're actually out about 9 more students. My niece Jazz was going to bring her daughter there. My nephew Timmy, he actually went in, and his children were going to go there. So they're out 9 more students that would have been attending that school, and now plus Bree, there's 10. You know, so they're out, and that's on them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And nobody's going to pay that kind of money for an education where they say, or our motto is to reach our students and, you know, to spread the word of God. And, you know, they're not installing that when the teachers and their children, in this case, one of the children, you know, mothers work there, allowing the racism to happen. You know, and I think, and they're trying to do it kind of quietly if they go about it. I know what they're going to do. They're going to kind of do it quietly. So maybe some of their supporters won't hear about this, but it needs to be as loud as it was said. She was in a classroom.
But here's the deal.
Once we get together. On the playground, you know?
Yeah. Once we get together and set a date, here's what we do, Manny. We got to set a date that we're going to go over there. And it don't take a whole lot of us. It's just so we can get it done. Let's pick a date that we can go and do this. It could be let's plan for next Monday.
Okay,
is
what's
that
next
a good
Monday?
Day for you? Huh?
Let's look at my. I think it is. Yeah, any day is a good day for me. Monday the 12th.
Let's say Monday the 19th. And that's a holiday, isn't it?
It's President's Day. Yeah, they won't be there.
Right. Okay. Let's go Tuesday.
Tuesday the 20th. Okay.
Let's go. And well, what time would you suggest? What time is good for you? Because I'll make any time good for me.
I'll make any time good for me. Anytime.
Okay.
We can do it
in
the morning while the students are.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it in the morning.
Let's plan for let's get there at 9:30 and let's make up some signs. And get there and decide how we're going to do it. I'll get with some of the members of the family and make up some signs and we'll get as many people as possible. And it don't have to be a whole lot. It just be enough to let them know that we're out there. You see, there's nothing more important than letting them know that we're not taking this land down.
Exactly.
Let's plan for Tuesday.
Okay.
A week from tomorrow.
The 20th.
And let's plan for 9:30. But let's also, can you get with the girls and have them to make some signs?
Yes, I can. I can do that.
Okay,
get them
to make some signs. Put on the sign what you want. I'll be there. I'll bring some people too. And we'll make this happen because I'm not taking this land down. I'm going to tell you just like it is. I'm very disturbed. When I got off the phone after talking to her, I was so angry. I was blaming myself. I said, we should have known something was going on. I mean, how could we let this go and they get away with something like this? You know, but we're going to continue to do what needs to be done to make sure that this doesn't scar her for the rest of her life. You see,
exactly.
She's probably gonna need some help. Maybe talk to a psych or something. Anything that because I could tell when I was told how it disturbed her, I really got alarmed. And then I got on the phone. I called some of my friends who are in education, and I asked them to help us so we'll know what to do. Get lawyers. We need lawyers. We need a couple of lawyers because we're not letting them get away with this. Because one guy even admitted that he should have done something. If he's saying
that's the ace in the hole
that we need. But we have to make sure we do what we're supposed to do. You file these complaints first, let them know, And everybody will be calling these lawyers. And so we can have a lawyer for them. I got the lawyer Gil, who I think that would help us. But I'm going to call other lawyers. Just by being an individual, it's tough. But it was more people, which I believe is more people, that's going to need our help. And I think that we should make sure we're doing what we're doing. Anytime that you see little children talking like this, it comes from the parents. It don't come from,
yeah.
But they don't know nothing about this.
One of the students that had, you know, called her the N-word, he actually, his mother works there. She's a teacher mm-hmm. herself. So, yeah. And you're supposed to be in a Christian, and it's supposed to be a Christian school at that. That's what kills me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Jesus taught love. He didn't teach hate. He taught love. He did not teach hate. He did not discriminate. Okay. And that needs to be taught, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's not taught, you know. And it's just unfortunate that it had to get to this point, you know, like I said.
Well, you know, one thing, the good thing about this, it got there before it got too bad. Because if they start knocking the books out of your hand, they start calling you the N-word.
Around her, telling her to get back to work, all that. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were making whooping sounds. That was out on the playground. She can't even go play without them torturing her. You know what I mean? You know, there was four boys. And it wasn't just the boys. It was some other people laughing. There was teachers that were laughing. Come on.
Yeah,
you know,
So
you are mandated to report by the state as a teacher. You got your certification from the Board of Education. The Board of Education needs to be aware of this as well. You know?
Absolutely.
Maybe that
absolutely.
School does
that,
not
that's
need
why
to be
I
in
called
business
my friend.
If that's their business.
Right. We are not going to let this go like this. It's you know, we're going to find something that we can utilize to get more support from around the state, because right now we have over 15 cities that's listening to you right now around this country. Over 15 cities are listening to you. And what we want them to do, we're going to start calling that school after we march. After we march, or during the time we are marching, we're going to have them to call, and we want them to call that school and tell them, ask them what's really going on. And I think that's
exactly
how we're going to deal with them. Let them know that they got support all around the country, and we're willing to stand up and fight for them. At least I am. I'm willing to stand up and fight for you.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
I think we need to have
and she don't have to be related to me and all this kind of stuff, but people know me. They know what I'm going to. They know I'm coming. So but we got to make sure that we're doing all the things we supposed to do. And if we're not doing
it, I want them to know that it's Trinity Lutheran. It's in St. Joe, and that you know, I mean, the principal. I guess the principal did reach out, but it wasn't until like 8 p.m. that night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't call somebody 8 p.m. at night. You should have called before she even.
Well, it sounds like she was desperate.
You should have called immediately, and you should have.
Right. That sounds like desperation to me.
Office. Yes, there were things that the adults could have handled differently, and they did not. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I was in mental health, like I said, and working for the state for 22 years, and this is abuse. This is abuse.
Absolutely.
It's racism. It's neglect
mm-hmm.
on the adult part. And what happens when a child gets abused or neglected? You call CPS. So so we need to be calling and reaching out to different sources that deal not only with therapy for Aubrey and for the other students involved, but we also need to be reaching out to our senators. And
absolutely.
And our legislation and our city councilmen.
Matter of fact,
I got
the state rep phone them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep,
we're going
to
let them know also, because there's a major problem here. And if we don't help, if we don't correct it, then it will not be corrected, and it's going to happen to anybody else who attend that school.
Yep.
So we got to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. I plan to call the principal today, and let her know that we're not taking this land down. You know, we're not allowing you to do what you did to Audrey, to another child. you know.
Aubrey.
And, yeah, Aubrey. Aubrey. And we're not allowing that to happen. So we got to do what we're supposed to do. We got to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do, you know. And if we're not doing everything that we need to do, we're just spinning our wheels.
Yes, I think people need to reach out. You know, I had made posts actually on Google as soon as I had heard. I was in out of state, and I made posts, and the principal had taken them down. So
let's read
in the morning, and I noticed they were down.
Listen, let's redo it. Let's send them. Send me what you said. Send me a link to Sue, whatever you say, and let's network and make it happen.
Yeah.
That's one of the things they know we don't do. But we can do that. But look, I just want to say thank you so much, for taking the lead on this, because we need to make sure we're doing what we do. So we're all set for next Tuesday at 9:30 in the morning. Okay? What I want you to do, you guys make the signs of what you wanted to say. And then we will be there in front of the school to let them know that there's a problem. And we will do it, whether they like it or not.
Yes. And if we can get some more people in the community, you know, who want to stand against
racism.
Will. Racism is real. It's alive today.
Right.
You know, it has
to. And whether they like it or not, racism is real.
Somebody stands up, speaks up, and says something. Because if you say nothing, then it will continue to happen over and over again. So,
absolutely.
I agree with you
100%.
Right now here today, had somebody spoke up, said something, and did something. And
absolutely.
He was
not
much older than Aubrey. And, yeah. It's awesome. So,
absolutely.
We need to do
absolutely.
It now. It's alive until 2024. So, yes, 9:30 a.m. next Tuesday. Or this coming Tuesday, I'm sorry, is it the 20th we said?
Yeah, it's the 20th, 9:30 in front of the school.
9:30 a.m.
And we'll start congregating out there, and we'll see what we can do. Look, only thing we want to do is want people to know about what's going on at Trinity and make sure that this never, ever happened to another child. Never. For any reason, you see. Because what you said earlier about the teachers was laughing. Now that's even worse now than even with the little kids saying it. They know better.
Yeah.
You see, they know the danger of this. Yeah. So I'm making sure that we continue to do the things that we need to do, and follow through. And you definitely got my attention. And also, I want you to know that you have my number. Anytime you feel like calling, you call me. And don't hesitate
okay, we'll
to call
do that,
me.
Though.
Okay? And then we'll take this thing to a whole different level. And on that note, if I'm expecting my good friend Dr. Times to come on to say something, but he has not came on yet, so I'm waiting on him. He's scheduled to come on, but I'll bring in my good friend who shall I bring in now to talk? I'll bring in my good friend Annette, and let her comment on this. And don't forget, next Tuesday, 9:30, and don't forget to call me.
I will not forget. I will call you.
All
I
right,
meet you
then.
There.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
No, thank you. Thank you for getting the word out there. I appreciate
all
it.
All right.
God bless.
All right now. Is that you, Annette?
Whistleblower, they are on the scene. Yes.
Is that you?
Yes. Yes. The whistleblowers are on the scene. The whistleblowers are on the scene, and we want everyone. And this is what we talk about, Blow the Whistle, Reverend Pickney. We would like for all of the phone numbers for the school, for the school board members, for the elected officials, for the churches, because we need our churches to come on board when racism is involved. Feel as though that this is a spiritual This is a spiritual thing. Anytime you are having hate, it is a hate crime, and this is hate. And we want to make sure that we are setting examples to call it out, and that's why we got the Sambo Super Bowl going on, Super Bowl Sambos. And we want all of our cities. We want all of our black radio stations. I want to call out KCP. Nobody promote them more than I do because of the fact that they have the baddest DJs on the planet. However, they have censored and sequestered the voices of the people, and the name is the People Station. They receive tax dollars. It's the Clark County Board of Equal Opportunity that we filed the lawsuit. I also, in the lawsuit that's in Las Vegas Whistleblowers, it is the Board of Education Indoctrination. So we must, education, we need a new model. I really feel as though that we need to look at the model of the Davis brothers, how they had the family business. This is something that you will always have a job or whatever your contribution is to the family. And when we're actually having everybody bringing their gifts and their talents to the family, then this is when we become to eradicate poverty, because you're really going to school to have a vocation in whatever talent that you're given, so you can be able to be a functional part of the family business. So when we actually have that particular education model, you know, you are homeschooled and you have a family business, and whatever your talents that God has given to you, you use those talents, and you may have, you know, education or study in this particular. But if God give you something, I mean, I don't know what man can do to ordain whatever God give to you. So when we are actually being about our Father's business and finding whatever our purpose is, and I have really discovered this has been my purpose, is to find this hidden wealth from our ancestors that's been wrongfully stolen. We are calling out the Hunt family, owners of the Kansas City Chiefs. We are calling them
all right,
out.
All right. So you're going after the Hunts?
No, sir. We're going after Pandora Papers. And Pandora Papers, it is over 330 politicians. It's 117 countries. It was 600 journalists. And so over 12 million documents. So the Pandora Papers, this is, again, on YouTube, where Congress 2 years ago, they had this hearing. And they said that it's nearly $32 trillion that's been hidden. But it was from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was the Share Our Wealth Society, and it was with Huey P. Long speeches. They actually have laid, he says, write to us. We're going to send you this plan where no man is too rich and no man is too poor. By widows and the children, orphans and the veterans. We're going to give you so many months off for vacation. You will not work these many hours. We're going to share the wealth among everyone. And they are talking about the oil companies, the Rothschilds. And in this journey that I've been on, it has unlocked where the wealth that has been stolen, that they had the hearing December the 8th, 2021, and every single person, every single church need to look at this and, again, blow the whistle. So now we need to, when you look at hearing, call your congressman, and the congressman, Mike Johnson, the speaker, he's actually the congressman that's sitting over this property that is in question, that have, again, it has been known as the Pandora Papers. I actually got a tweet from Elon Musk, this was 2 years ago, saying congratulations on the Pandora mm-hmm. Papers and the Davis brothers. Because, again, the world's elite, okay, now you're seeing Joe Biden and Hunter Biden family, they even talking about the, again, these documents put online, and it's called Open Corporate. I actually dumped a lot of these files that, again, that were associated with the Davis Brothers Lumber Company that is a family business. And when they did the paperwork, it's a LTD. So now, LTD means limited. The only, nobody but the family. Limited to nobody but the family. And what they did was they actually signed the deeds of the land as capital stock into the family business that no one can touch it but the family.
Mm.
So now when you are actually being educated onto how to properly document your paperwork, the company will be celebrating 121 years. I have actually filed the proper paper administrator for my great-grandfather's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I invite everyone to please go on to the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, and that's Ansley, A-N-S-L-E-Y, mm-hmm. Louisiana. Now, we're coming through the New Prosperity Baptist Church, which is separation of church and state. So we want everybody to go back to your grandparents and great-great-grandparents' churches.
Mm-hmm.
And the money is going to flow separation of church and state. Okay, do you mean, okay, when the churches go and you go to church and, oh, wow, we're having revival, we're having, you know, the anniversary, we having the gospel. Every Sunday we go to church. Oh, we having the benevolent fund. We are all taking that same money to the bank, let's say Chase Bank. But then you have everybody else, Walmart and these different other corporations and businesses, even individuals who do their banking. It may be even some church members who do their banking with Chase Bank. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is that the money that comes from the church is separate than everybody else who's banking with the bank. So where's that money that the church is bringing? That's where the $50 trillion come in. This has been separate. And the money that they've been using, our interest, royalties, when I tell you this is so much wealth, and each month now, it is to bring our people, bring all the lost sheep and their lost souls. And once again, we come, we hearken, we repent, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, our Savior, be baptized, whatever. Again, now, please do not argue with me. It is about going through the steps of being able to have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life on the roll. So therefore, when you get ready each month, you're going to get your inheritance. You're going to get your interest. You're going to get your royalties. Mm-hmm. These are all different checks that will be coming to you from your mother's mother. Just since I've been on this journey, I just realized that my dad's side of the family, the Williams, along with Mount Ali. And so when we were in San Diego, where I was born, Church of God in Christ in 1959, all of the wealth from these legacy black church is separation of church and state, and as the churches have been bringing money to these banks that have kept and hid our money. And so now, what is your purpose in it? Well, my purpose was for me to go on this horrific journey. When I tell you the federal court in Las Vegas, they say we deal with the mob. But what we see right here, it is incomprehensible. And we deal with the mob. So journey, because for the lack of time, and every situation, whether it's the school, whether it is the way that we are being mistreated in these hospitals, whether it is dealing with black women or dealing with success or the lack, whatever. I mean, every situation that you guys bring on your show, I have personal stories. I have personal stories that, again, they are shows all by themselves. So for the better lack of time, my purpose through this journey was to find this wealth, to let all of the black pastors know, please bring your church rolls and whoever founded your churches, and then we're going to start right there. And every single person, all the way down to the unborn child that is in the mother's womb, titled to portions with an S from all of your ancestors. So thank you so much for
Nanette,
again.
Yes. Nanette, you got 2 minutes. I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Tam. Let him finish the show off. And hey, I always appreciate you, but let's talk soon.
Yes, and I will be sending you more.
All right, that'll work. Dr. Tans, talk to me.
Yep, sorry that didn't work out. I tried, but we'll start off with the fact that babies, that we make sure that every single black mother who is pregnant goes into a delivery room with what's called a doula, which is to help her with the delivery, which is similar to a midwife, but she doesn't do the delivery. That will increase the chances of the mother living and the baby living. So we have to be very careful that these hospitals that have all white maternity wards and nurseries have a high rate of death when it comes to black babies. Their subconscious racism is killing the baby. Their subconscious implicit bias is killing the baby. The fact is that their open bias with racism is killing the babies. So that's something that we have to be very concerned about. So that's important. The other thing, let's see, that we have to think about right now is I want to just get something straight, since you are a person of controversy. It's not really any real big deal. I want to get the history right. I want to get the culture right. I want to get the understanding right. Now, I'm a person that, as you, me and you both being pastors, we accept everybody where they are. We accept you where you are, but we may not condone where you are. We may accept you, but don't condone your behavior. Now, we have to be clear that there's a difference in culture between the African, between the European, between the Arab, between the Asian. And if you want to adopt another man's culture, then that's fine and good, but don't try to tie that with the culture that you're from if that's not related to it. I'm going to get clearer and clearer as we go. In the Japanese, Chinese culture and Mongol culture is very, very, very similar in their behaviors and actions. In the Arab countries, they are very similar. The European cultures are very similar. But what you have different is the oldest culture, oldest civilization in the world being out of Africa, which people don't pay attention to, is more directly tied with nature than any other civilization, that the African way of life seeks to be in balance and harmony with the nature that surrounds them. Now, what you have to understand is that most African people, every single one, Nigerian, that don't matter, all African countries right now, for the most part, are pseudo-African. Yes, every African I'm talking to you, the Nigerian I'm talking to you, the Kenyan I'm talking to you, the Cameroonian, the Ugandan, the South African, all of you are pseudo-Africans because the European culture and Arab culture came in and blocked you from full African culture. So you have adopted behaviors, attitudes, and treatments that are alien to your history because you don't know your full history. And when you don't know your history, you are a mystery to yourself and to others. For instance, majorly important, Africans, real Africans, true Africans, before colonization, and the word colonization means slavery at home. Colonization or colonized means you are enslaved at home, in your own home. So you are on your own land, but you are enslaved. You are in your own house, but you are enslaved. Now, the chattels, then you have slavery that goes out into Europe. You have slavery that comes to North America. But when you look back in time, you got to be clear of slavery and independent servitude, indentured servitude, because slavery was always based on a war, that you lost the war. Slavery was always based on indebtedness. Slavery was based on you even obligating yourself to work for a person. That was not slavery, but that's how the Europeans use the words today. We would call that servitude because you have means to break free of your servitude. But in 1488 going to 1492, that changed with the Catholic Church. For the first time, slavery was based on skin color. In 1492, slavery was based on skin color. And you can read Bartholomew Lacasis, the Confessions of Bartholomew Lacasis, that while they went out to enslave the Africans instead of the American Indians, or call indigenous people. And we got to be careful on the word indigenous. The word indigenous means before the European. The word indigenous means before the Europe. So if you are there before the European discovers it, you are indigenous. The Alaskan was indigenous because when he was discovered by the European, the Irk, the Yukes, and the Folson, the Folson, were indigenous before being discovered by the European. The African was indigenous before being discovered by the Europeans. But the thing about it, when France discovers England, or when England discovers Germany, or Poland discovers Russia, they never consider using the term indigenous. So don't get caught up in that. The African was here prior to the coming over, the Barren Straits, into America and mixing with the African and losing the Ipecacuanha fold, or the Mongolian folds, or what we call the Chinese or Japanese eyes. That's why no Native American will have slanted eyes, because of the mixing with the Africans that were here. And there is no such thing, as stated and documented by Dr. Claude Anderson, as a white Indian. It does not exist. White Indians are $5 Indians through the DAWES roster where Europeans in America were allowed to pay $5 to join the Indian tribes in order to get their welfare benefits. The Indian tribes were given welfare benefits and put on prisons, so they were colonized here in America. And that's what a reservation is a colonization, or they're colonized on their particular land. But because they broke, because the Europeans, the white, what we call European Americans, broke the treaty so often, they put them on land and reservations and tried to kill them while they were on the reservations by taking smallpox infected blankets and giving it to them, trying to starve out their food supply, giving them food supply that they knew wasn't nutritious, that should cause them to have a vitamin deficiency and become brittle and die. But the native people mixed up some of their own herbs with it and made it beneficial. So the European mindset, the European culture has been one of trying to exist in control and be by themselves on this planet. So there's no such thing as white people. It's European Americans, because prior to Jim Crow, prior to ending the slavery, right at that time, developed the Ku Klux Klan, KKK, and they had to unify the different European tribes. They had to identify the different European tribes, and to unify the different European tribes, where they were from Australia, from England, from Britain, from Spain, from Portugal. They had to get them together to unify them under the banner of white. And we must destroy that banner and stop using white and use European American. We must divide them and conquer them by using European American, because that's who they are. There's no such thing as white. They're not blanco. They don't match the white paper. They can be pigmentless to some degree, but they are leucoderm scientifically, but they are not white. And we need to end that and end that form of unity. So those people from the European mountains are one of the youngest groups and the most aggressive group that we have, but their aggression is towards the environment, towards animals, towards other Homo sapien type creatures. That's why we still today in 2024 are considered three-fifths humans by those individuals. That's why those individuals are so aggressive and don't have humanity. That's why you can see them bomb hospitals with babies in it, where you can bomb hospitals where sick people are there, where they can do mass murders and try to lie about it in front of your face, because that humanity is not there, you see. And those cultures that they have are different. In the Asian culture, the higher elite, especially the emperors, would have concubines that would be young boys. That's totally alien to the African. In the Arab cultures, some of the bandits would not rape the woman, because that would be a death sentence in terms of their law, but they would rape her, her husband. Even in Egypt, you will have them paying money to sodomize young boys. That's not African culture. That's Arab culture. That's Chinese, Japanese culture. Then you go up into Europe and the Greco-Roman culture, you will find the Greeks saying the greatest love was between two men. So P. Diddy didn't start that.
All right.
So I want you to know that. And that's something that adopting that culture. Now, the Romans got a little bit more creative, where they, added animals involved in it. But we also know medically that in the Arabs, sheep herding, that inside of sheep is called syphilis. And somehow we see that the ba from the sheep went to bad by the sheep because some of the shepherds were screwing the sheep and brought syphilis into the human population. Again, that's their culture, and I don't put down anybody's culture. But in the African culture, that was totally opposite because it followed the laws of nature. The two bulls would never get together in the African culture. Two male rhinos would never get together in the African culture. Two male lions will never get together in the African culture. So that was totally alien, and that's why it was taboo, because it was unnatural. And so what that was brought into the African continent by the Europeans, that, you know, some people now are trying to adopt it because of low self-esteem, several hundred years of slavery. They wanted to try to whiten up. And most African leaders, 99% of most African leaders, have white mentalities. They've been brought up European, so they love European more than they love African. And that's why you see the problems in there. That's why they're still colonized, and that's why the people resources are being sold out. So the African is not free. He's not free. When you can't own your own furniture of gold, you're not free. When you can't own your own furniture of coltan, you're not free. If you can't own your own diamond mines, you're not free. If you can't own your own oil, you're not free. So, but they use Africans, black skin, white men to rule things. And I'll say that again a little bit slow. They use African, black skin, white men to rule everything. They use your Sambo, your house Negro, to run things. And so one of the greatest leaders was Idi Amin. And in terms of he carried himself like a king. He started like a king. So in other words, that's what's very important, that we understand that the behaviors that are being promoted are anti-African and European and Arab and Asian, and that's why you have the violation of young boys. You have the violation of young men because that's their culture, not our culture. And it's nothing that you were born with. That's a lie. You were molested young as a child, or you saw that there was power in being around women all the time, and you wanted that attention and recognition, and you went that way. But that's a cultural exchange. That's a cultural learning. It's not genetic. It's not inherited, because your culture was despised because the African woman was considered to be Shu, the sky, and the man was called Jeb, the earth. And in the African tradition, the woman would be on top when it comes to procreation, making, you know, they did other positions, but that was the number one position, where the European felt that was crazy to have a woman in that position of dominance. But the African is matriarchal, matrilineal. The African is matriarchal, matrilineal. The African is matriarchal, matrilineal, in that the royalty passes not through the father, but through the mother. The royalty passes not through the father, but through the mother. And that we look at Big Mama to help guide us and to lead us. And so we're going towards Valentine's Day. We have to remember, in the African tradition, the greatest love is between a man and his wife, between a man and a woman. In other cultures, that's not the case, and we have to respect them. The Greeks say the greatest love is between two men. The Greeks say that semen is food of the gods. That's their culture. That's their way of living. So, and what happened is in entertainment, that culture and that race of people dominate, so those behaviors dominate. So that's when you can get the influences of your T.D. Jakes and your your P. Diddy and whoever is slipping slippery, that's out there, but it's not who we are. So
absolutely.
You know your Doc, history. You know
ran
your
out
grade.
Of time. Yep,
okay.
Yep. Listen, that was an experiment I was doing with the Facebook, and it didn't turn out like I wanted to, but I'm going to work on it.
Right, there's one piece that's still missing. That's why I couldn't log on. I was on Facebook, but it couldn't find you.
Oh,
like you already
okay.
Had, yeah, they couldn't find you. You hadn't started yet. Okay.
Right. All right, well, I'm going to work on that, and then we're going to get it right. Anyway, the good news is that we just picked up a couple of more cities that's going to be listening. So we had our full thing. And don't forget about Tuesday, next Tuesday, 9:30 at Trinity. We will be there. Make your signs. We will be there. Regardless what they say and what they do, we will be there. So listen. We'll talk soon. Talk to everybody. Have a great day. God bless you.